Daniel chapter 12. I've entitled today's message, Back to the Future. How many remember the movies? You remember the Back to the Future movies? Marty McFly. Have I got any Marty McFly fans in the house? You know, you got to have the vest, right? Put it on and rock and roll. And so Marty McFly, man, he meets Doc Brown. And Doc says, I've got this DeLorean time machine, man, and you can go back in time. He's like, dude, I'm in. And so he goes back in time, 1955, and he meets his parents and gets involved in their life as teenagers, as high school students. And all of a sudden, he gets caught in this time-altering chain reaction that threatens to vaporize his future, right? And so he has to put together and orchestrate all these events to make sure mom and dad fall in love and everything falls in line. And lo and behold, lightning strikes, it's the DeLorean. He goes back to 1985 and everything's like 10 times better, right, than it was when he left. Well, today we're going to go back to see the future. We're going to go backwards to see the future. Here's the cool thing about God's Word. It already tells us what's going to happen in the last days. Did you know that? We already know. Like, we already know Jesus' kingdom is coming. We already know dates and times and seasons, chronology. We know everything about the last days except for the date of the rapture, which could happen at any moment. That's the thief in the night part, where Jesus says, you're not going to know the day or the hour. He's talking about when it all begins. But we do have all of this evidence in the scriptures about what the last days are going to look like. And by the way, are we living in them? Come on, church. We living in them? It sure does feel like it, doesn't it? And so back to the future. We serve an eternal God, a God who knows the end from the beginning. Isaiah 46. Look at this verse with me. Isaiah chapter 46, verse 9. Second half of the verse says this. I am God, and there is none like me. I am God, and there's none like me. Now in verse 10, there's the statement. Declaring the end from the beginning, from ancient times, things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will accomplish all of my purpose. Everything that God has promised concerning his coming kingdom will come to fruition, won't it? And we can stake not just our life, our eternity on it. And we listen, today, if you want to know the future, come to Jesus. He's the Alpha and the Omega. You don't need a tarot, somebody to read a tarot card or to read your palm. You don't need a magic eight ball, right, or to know your horoscope. You just need a Savior, Jesus. Just trust in him. He is eternal, omniscient God. As the song says, casting crowns, right? He's already there, isn't he? He's already there. He's already at the end of my life, right? And so today, hey, by the way, just to bring it down to the present moment, whatever you're walking through, the beginning of your difficulty may just be getting started. But the end, God's already there. Come on, somebody. He already sees the end, knows the end, and he wants to walk through it with you. Keep in mind, in the last days, it's going to get incredibly difficult for children of God. By the way, why are we getting so up in arms right now? We shouldn't be surprised. I mean, the Bible tells us that in the last days it's going to get hard. Now, I say that along with you. I have my own frustrations and my own flesh, too, that comes out at times. But why are we surprised by what we see in the world in these days? Why are we so upset that we can't put hope in government? Hello. Why are we so upset that we can't put hope in a man-made system? Why are we so upset by that? In these days, we need to set our hope totally in Christ. Be good citizens. Be involved. But understand that in the last days, our declaration is what? Come, Lord Jesus. Isn't that right? Come, Lord Jesus. Your kingdom be set up here. And you are God. And God alone. And so, trust. Listen, in these days, let's be witnesses for Christ. Let's put our hope completely in Jesus. This past week, I was watching stuff on Twitter. Y'all ever watch anything on Twitter? Don't do it long. It'll fry your brain. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, it's like, what in the world, all this stuff in our crazy world? And I'm watching video from a former Army general at a faith gathering talking about how what we need in America is one religion, right? And a bunch of, you know, supposed Christians are like, hey, amen. That's going to be the modus operandi of the Antichrist in the last days. You realize that, right? That's going to be the modus operandi of the devil in the last days. We don't need one religion. I don't need a prophet, a man-made prophet. I need Jesus to come and set up his kingdom, guys. Are you listening? Now, I made some people mad at 9:30 about that. Y'all all right? But that's okay. Listen, our hope, listen, Joe Biden's not my savior. Donald Trump is not my Messiah. Jesus is. Come on now. And why am I bringing this up? Because we're going to get into that. In the last days, Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. He disguises himself as an angel of light. In the last days, Jesus said, there's going to be a whole bunch of folks who come in my name. Now, time out. Think about that a minute. Who come in my name? Who are going to use Jesus as their shroud for their devilishness? And he said, there's going to be a whole lot of folks in the last days. They're going to talk about me, and they're going to say they're promoting me, when at the end of the day, they're just after their own gain, their own power, their own fame, money, all this stuff. And so do not be deceived. We're going to get into some of that today. Don't be deceived. Just set your heart on Christ and your focus on him. Trust in Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus, has to be our cry in these days. And when we start with the Bible, now I can come to those things. I can come to politics, and I should be a good citizen. It's good to be involved in public life. But I got to start here first, right? Come on now. I got to start here, and then I'm going to take it. And I'm going to be the hope of the gospel where I'm at. And so that's what God's calling us to. Daniel chapter 12. Let's dive in together. And Daniel 12, as we're diving in. Daniel chapter 9. I need to give you some background here. Daniel has just talked about, or Gabriel has spoken to Daniel about the 70 weeks prophecy. It's the most famous prophecy, arguably, in the book of Daniel. 70 weeks prophecy. Now, what was that prophecy all about? When you think 70 weeks of years. So think years when you hear weeks. So 70 times 7, 490 years. And what Gabriel told Daniel was, from the time the decree is given to rebuild Jerusalem, which happened with Nehemiah. That's the completion of the rebuilding of Jerusalem. From the time that decree goes out, there will be 69 weeks of years to the Messiah making an end of sin for mankind. And so what's interesting is, when you go back, historians tell us, Bible scholars tell us, if you run the chronology of it, and you use a 360-day prophetic year, which was the Chaldean calendar, and was also used, we see in the Old Testament, especially by the people of Israel. If you use that 360-day prophetic calendar, times it by 483 years, 69 times 7, can I get an amen on some math today? Y'all with me? So 69 times 7, 483 years, 360-day prophetic year. You come to, historians tell us, it lands on the approximate date when Jesus rode into Jerusalem, the triumphal entry that we celebrate on Palm Sunday. So it's just incredible how Jesus almost perfectly, or did perfectly fulfill, if you will, this prophecy. And it came to pass, 69 weeks. Well, what we're looking at it now in chapter 12 is the 70th week of Daniel's prophecy. So the final 7 years of that 70 weeks prophecy. And those final 7 years are yet to be fulfilled. He's going to talk to us about the great tribulation period, the 7 years of terrible tribulation, Antichrist, one world government, whole nine yards, temple rebuilt, sacrifices restored, and then at the halfway point, the Antichrist says, worship me, I'm God. And just, man, God's judgment's being poured out on the earth. Battle of Armageddon concludes that time. Jesus comes, sets up his millennial kingdom there. But this 70th week is going to talk to us about the great tribulation. Now, why did we jump from the ascension of Christ, his death, burial, resurrection, and his ascension, to a period yet fulfilled, unfulfilled? Well, it's like prophetic silence for the people of Israel. The Apostle Paul talked about it in the New Testament. He said, man, it's a mystery, isn't it? Well, what is that mystery? It's the church age. It's the age in which we're living. It's the dispensation of the Gentiles, if you will. It's this season where now God is doing this new thing among the church. In fact, in Romans chapters 9 through 11, it says that there's a partial hardening in these days among the Jewish people. But there will be an incredible revival among the Jewish people during the tribulation. Okay? And so you have this prophetic, mysterious silence. What is it? It's the church. And we're living in that age. And so now, with that context, we're going to look at this 70th week, the Great Tribulation period, which is yet to be fulfilled. Rapture of the church happens, and it starts. Okay? Daniel chapter 12, starting in verse 1. It says, "At that time shall arise Michael, the great prince who has charge of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never has been since there was a nation till that time." By the way, for my Bible scholars in the room, my opinion is a pre-tribulational rapture is what we see in the scripture. This is one evidence to that, I believe. The tribulation period is referred to as the time of Jacob's trouble. Isn't that interesting? I believe the church has been raptured out. I believe in the millennial reign, the wedding feast of the Lamb is when the church comes down and Israel is there. Those who have placed faith in Christ made it through the tribulation, also tribulation. Martyrs are raised. I'll come to that in just a moment. And they come together now as the unified bride of Christ at the wedding supper of the Lamb, the beginning of the millennial kingdom. And so, let's keep moving. "Time of trouble such as we've never seen. But at that time, your people shall be delivered." There's that revival among the people of Israel. The Bible even says there'll be special protection. Yes, there will be a bunch martyred, but they will also be protected. That second half of the tribulation, God has supernatural protection for his people. And it says, "Everyone whose name shall be found written in the book are the ones who will be delivered." Verse 2, "And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake." So resurrection's a part of this. "Some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the sky above. Those who turn many to righteousness." Remember that statement, we're going to come back to that. "Those who turn many to righteousness will shine like stars forever and ever." It means the glory of God will come upon those who have lived that life for Jesus. And it's characterized by turning others to righteousness. Verse 4. "But you, Daniel, shut up at the words and seal the book until the time of the end." Prophetic, mysterious silence during the church age. Isn't that interesting? And he says, "Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase." We see that, don't we? Information, knowledge, technology increasing rapidly. Now, verse 5. "Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, two others stood, one on this bank of the stream and one on that bank of the stream. And someone said to the man clothed in linen." Now, who is that? That's Jesus. Saw that in chapter 10 when this vision begins. So he sees Jesus there, the man clothed in linen. He's above the waters. Anybody else glad he's above the stuff today? Isn't that good? Hey, he's above all this stuff that's happening in our world. He's above the waters. And they ask him, "How long will it be to the end of these wonders?" "And I heard the man clothed in linen above the waters. He raised his right hand and his left toward heaven. And he swore by him who lives forever that it would be for a time, times, and half a time." Think year when you hear the word time there. So 3.5 years, 1 plus 2 plus a half. So that midpoint of the tribulation period is when the great and terrible day of the Lord, the final wrath of God, is poured out for that second half of the tribulation period. When the Antichrist says, "The world gonna worship me now." God says, "No, they're not. I'm coming back." The Battle of Armageddon begins, I believe, right there, by the way. I believe it's a protracted conflict that we actually see in the book of Revelation. At the conclusion of that is when Jesus comes again. And it says here that when the shattering of the power of the holy people comes to an end, all these things will be finished. "And I heard, but I didn't understand." Can I get a witness on that? Anybody else like, "I don't understand all this"? Come on, thank you. Stay with me. We're going to walk through it. I don't understand all this. The Spirit of God gives us understanding. You just got to keep seeking Him. And he says, I don't understand. And he says, oh, my Lord, what will be the outcome of this? And he said, "Go your way, Daniel, for the words are shut up and sealed until the time of the end. Many will purify themselves, make themselves white, and be refined. But the wicked, they're going to act wickedly. None of the wicked are going to understand it. But those who are wise will understand. From that time, or from the time that the regular burnt offering is taken away and the abomination that makes desolate is set up, there shall be 1290 days. Blessed is he who waits and arrives at the 1335. Hey, maybe that's the wedding feast of the Lamb. You ever thought about that? Man, that's in the millennial kingdom. 3.5 years, 1290, man, it's concluded. Then 1335, blessed is the one who gets there. And it says, but go your way to the end, and you shall rest, and shall stand in your allotted place at the end of the days. I want us to roll up our sleeves and dive right in. What we see in this passage, hey, we're going back to see the future. And we see, first of all, in this passage, indicators of the future. Indicators of the future. Indicator number one, that we're in the last days, heading towards them, but also during that tribulation period, what's going to happen? Well, number one, trouble. Trouble. In Matthew chapter 24, Jesus talks about this extensively. And he says, in the last days before I come again, it's going to be bad. It's going to go from bad to worse, especially for believers, but even for all of the world. And he says that there will be violence. See if this doesn't come to mind when you think about images you see on the internet or news you watch. Violence. Lawlessness. He says lovelessness. He said many, their love will grow cold. We talk about inclusion, but we're the most excluding people in the world when someone disagrees with us. And so, you know, listen, love will grow cold. There will be wars and rumors of wars all around our world. Famines, earthquakes, natural disasters, other natural disasters also will increase. It's like birth pangs. How many mamas I got in the room? Come on, mamas. Remember those birth pangs, right? Starts out kind of slow and a little uncomfortable, right? I say that like I know it. Okay, listen, my bride's up front right here. I just remember when she was struggling, right, and it was hard. But it starts out slow and uncomfortable, and then the pain and the discomfort begins to come quicker, sooner, more often, to where you get down to the end, right? Man, it's every 15 seconds, and you're screaming and pulling my hair out, right? Like, man, this baby got to come out. Listen, don't miss the picture. In the last days, it's gonna speed up. Right? Pain, hardship, suffering. You know, in the last days, it's going to speed up. Does it feel like it's speeding up in our world? Come on, somebody. Doesn't it? Birth pains, he talks about. And so, we don't know the day or the hour of the rapture. Anyone who tells you, listen, on, you know, December the 5th, 2021, listen, Jesus is going to rapture the church. You can mark it down, that ain't going to be the day. Jesus said nobody knows the day or the hour, but the Father only. That's interesting in your Trinitarian view of God, isn't it? Somehow it's just in the Father's purview, that the day or the hour. So, but everything else about the tribulation period and the Antichrist and all that is listed clearly in the Bible. But we do know what leads up to it. Trouble's a big part of that. Number two, let's keep moving. Knowledge will increase. Did you see that here? Knowledge. And when he said knowledge would increase, man, my mind just started pinging. I was like, man, what, you know, I would love to just get some statistics here on the multiplication of information and knowledge and technology just like over the past decade. And so I started just looking it up, right? Started researching. And just over the past 2 years, did you realize that we have generated more data, more information through the internet, through personal computers, through all these means, technological means. We have generated more data and more information in the past 2 years than all of human history combined. Put together. I mean, it's just incredible, isn't it? 40,000 searches on Google every second. A second. 300 hours of videos uploaded to YouTube every minute. 300 hours of new video every minute uploaded to YouTube. Facebook, right? On Facebook, 31 million messages. Was it a minute or a second? I'm going to forget here. Let me get it right. 31 million messages a minute. Every minute. 2.7 million videos are viewed on Facebook every minute of the day. Okay? I mean, it's just incredible how knowledge has and information and technology and all this stuff has increased. You think back just over the past 100 years, all of the increases in technology and knowledge in our world, Think about transportation. We went from horse and buggy to trains, to cars, to planes, to what? To putting rockets on the moon. Now Jeff Bezos is like, hey, check it out, I'm going to the moon. It's like, what in the world? You know? Like, who would ever think that, like, you know, you're going to have private citizens going to the moon? Communication. You know, senior saints, especially in the room, would you ever have thought there would have been a day that you could pick up a cell phone and in 15 seconds be talking to somebody in China? I mean, who would have ever thought that? Right? I mean, all of this, it's like birth pains. All of human history up to the past 100 years is nothing compared to the great changes over the past 100 years. So, man, what evidence that the last days are upon us. Number three, third indicator, government. I've already leaned into that a little bit today. But in the last days, Scripture says, we've already read from Daniel chapter 2. You remember the dream, Nebuchadnezzar's dream, the statue, the head of gold working its way down. And you had these toes, right? Iron legs, which represented Rome. And then you had this mixture of the ten toes, right? Of clay and of iron. And so in the last days, we see as you add other prophetic scriptures to it, in the last days, there's going to come this conglomeration of 10 kingdoms. Born out of the Western world, I really believe is the evidence we see in Scripture. These 10 kingdoms and these 10 leaders coming together to bring all of the world together under one government, one direction, one authority. And out of those 10 will arise 3 leaders who will rise up. And out of those 3, the Antichrist will then be so persuasive, so influential, he'll be the devil incarnate on this earth. And he will rise up as the leader over it all, and all of the world will come under one totalitarian dictatorial rule. But it won't start that way. It'll start with peace. The Bible says that he will get the Middle East to come to a peace agreement, which the Middle East has never done in its history. An unprecedented historical peace agreement will come. And he'll get Israel and all of her enemies and America and all to all come together, and all of our allies to all come together and just play nice with each other. Let's just be peaceful. And all the world will come under that one world government. But at the 3.5-year point, he will allow, at the beginning of that period, the tribulation period, he'll allow the temple to be rebuilt, temple sacrifices and temple worship to be restored and reinstated. But at the 3.5-year point, the Antichrist will actually stand in the Holy of Holies in Jerusalem in the rebuilt temple, and his false prophet, his little religious leader, right? The perfect combination of politics and religion, universalism, we're all just worshiping the same thing. And so, by the way, we need to all worship the Antichrist. He will demand that the world worship him. He will demand that the world take the famous mark of the beast in order to buy and sell. So a mark on your forehead or your right hand, the number 666 tied to that somehow, some way. And you won't be able to buy groceries or buy gas or do life without that mark. And that mark, by the way, will be a denial of Jesus. It will be obvious and plain that you will deny Christ and worship the beast in order to take it. So in these days, by the way, let me throw this out. A lot of people talking about the mark of the beast. Friends, listen to me. The spirit of the Antichrist is already in the world. But the Bible also says we come to salvation with faith like a child. Everybody who takes the mark of the beast goes to hell, the Bible says. Why is that? Because it is open and obvious that they have worshipped the beast. Don't get caught up in a bunch of propaganda and rhetoric in our days in the name, you listening? In the name of Jesus. Okay? It will be very obvious. And by the way, the mark of the beast finds itself in humanity, in a big part of this one world government during the tribulation period. Church is raptured out. Do we see precursors of the spirit of the Antichrist in our world? Yes. Right now, man, Christian opinion and Christian thought, man, those are dissenters, and we got to push all of that down, right? Our society says. That's part of that spirit of the Antichrist. But friends, don't be duped. Don't let fear and anxiety take over in your heart. There are no people running around that have some kind of special knowledge that the whole rest of the gospel world and the evangelical church doesn't have. Are you listening? So be wise in these days. government, but there is a one world government coming, Antichrist in control of it. Aren't you glad that our hope's not in a Democrat or a Republican? It's in Jesus. Come on now. Joe Biden's not my savior. Neither is Donald Trump. Jesus is. We need to get off this Christian nationalism, all this Trumpism stuff, and let's just promote Jesus. Politics are important. But man, we need to talk about Jesus up in here. Come on, somebody. Government, but number four. Fourth indicator of the future is resurrection. The angel Gabriel gives it to Daniel here. He says, listen, there are many who were asleep will come awake. It's resurrection. Resurrection will be a big part of the last days, won't it? Think about it. Three end times resurrections. Number one, the rapture. Church is raptured home. Caught up together with those who have died in Christ and been raised, caught up together with the Lord in the air. Brand new glorified body there. It's going to be interesting, just the rhetoric of the world in those days, right? And think about how easy it's going to be for the Antichrist to come and control the world. Well, hey, listen, this is alien abduction, right? I mean, so, man, they got them all out. Or hey, nature's cleansing itself of all those horrible Christians, right? I mean, all the crazy rhetoric in those days. And the Antichrist will step right into it and say, well, listen, I got the answer to this. Let me tell you the answer. And he's going to draw everybody in and say, man, yeah, we don't need that Jesus stuff. You see that? That's why it's gone now. And so rapture happens. Second resurrection. At the end of the seven-year period of great tribulation, the Old Testament saints and tribulation martyrs are raised to come into the kingdom with the Lord. The Bible speaks to this, says there are many around the throne of God, right? From every tribe, tongue, and nation. They were beheaded or killed during the time of the tribulation. Now they come back to reign with him, the scripture says, to reign with Jesus. And then the third resurrection is at the end of the millennial reign of Christ. The Battle of Armageddon concludes. Jesus comes back, sets up his earthly kingdom. Here Satan is bound. Oh, what a time of health, wealth, prosperity, holiness, righteousness. For the people of God, the millennial kingdom will be. But at the end of that thousand-year reign of Christ, the scripture says that Satan is loosed for a time to gather one more army to try to defeat God. But Jesus speaks the word, defeats him, and he's cast into the abyss, the pit of hell. By the way, hell was created for Satan and his demons, not for people. God doesn't send anyone to hell. We send ourselves. And the scripture says that at that time, the sea of humanity gives up its dead and we have the great white throne judgment where all of those who have denied Christ stand and give an account for their lives and are cast into eternal torment. So what's our job in these days? We'll talk about this in just a moment. Our job is to make sure that there are as few people at that great white throne judgment as possible. That's our job. Give praise to the Lord, set our hope in Jesus, and then invite as many people to Christ as we can. And that's your job as well as it's mine. It's all of our job. It's not just the preacher and the staff and the pastors. No, all of us are called to go and make disciples. All of us are called to have gospel conversations. All of us are called to pray with that co-worker in the office. Unashamed. All of us are called to talk to that neighbor about Jesus and say, hey, my hope's in Christ in these days. Well, what about this and what about that? Man, I'm just trusting God. What do you mean trust God? Man, it's a cop-out. No, it's not. He's the rock. Man, it's rock solid. Right? Gospel conversations, man. Indicators, which leads to number two, and we'll keep with that thought. He also talks here about preparation for the future. Let me give you these three and we're done this morning. Preparation for the future. How do you prepare? And this is important. This is super important. These are the application points we add. Say, okay, how do I prepare for all this? It's not about information. It's about transformation. It's about my life being changed by the Spirit of God and walking in a way that honors Him. Number one, how do I prepare? Get discernment. Get discernment. He says here, the wicked will not understand, but the wise will in the last days. What is discernment? Discernment is the spiritual sense of smell. It's the ability to see something, hear something, and immediately those spiritual red flags go up and you say, that ain't right. Like the other day when I'm watching that video, are you listening? Of that former U.S. Army general who's standing up saying we need a one world religion. And I'm saying, bless the Lord, that's the Antichrist. Motive, or not that individual, come on now, but what? That statement. That's what the Antichrist is going to say in those last days. And the false prophet. And Jesus says, it's going to come in my name. Don't be fooled, man. Don't get caught up in all this junk in our world. Don't get caught up in all the arguments. Listen, the devil wants us to argue about a blooming vaccine. Come on now. Shouldn't be arguing about a vaccine. We'll be telling people about Jesus. You can have your opinions, but then move on. Move on to Jesus. Let's put our hope in Christ. Let's tell others about Him. And so we need some discernment. Discernment. How do you know what's of God and what's not? 1 John chapter 4. Man, you need to remember this, all of us. Mark it down. And remember what 1 John 4 says. John gave it to us here. 1 John chapter 4, verse 2. By this you know the Spirit of God. If you're with me, say amen. Come on, church. Okay, let's do that again. If you're with me, say amen. Amen. We're about to go to lunch. I know you're hungry, but this is important. Hang in there with me. 1 John chapter 4, verse 2. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. So 100% deity, 100% humanity, all of our hope, our Savior, Jesus Christ. If you're listening to a preacher, a so-called preacher, who never talks about the cross and never talks about resurrection and never talks about the shed blood of Christ and our hope being in Him and Him alone, you need to turn him off. Or her. You need to turn them off. If they're spending all their time talking about Christian nationalism and Trumpism and all this junk, you need to turn it off. If they're spending all their time talking about democratic politics and, man, Joe Biden's awesome and he's our Savior, you need to turn it off. Our hope's in Christ. And so be careful in these days. Watching one of my charismatic friends over the past few weeks, or a charismatic individual, just ministry brought to us, folks asking about it, so a few folks asking about it in our church, and listening to the message there. Listen, Jesus did not become God at his baptism. My Oneness Pentecostal friends in the house, y'all listening to me. Jesus didn't get anointed of the Spirit at his baptism, and all of a sudden now we can do the same things Jesus did because we get anointed with the Spirit when we get saved. No, time out. Like, that little baby in a manger was God too. Come on, somebody. Are you with me? Listen, don't get caught up in this mess. Don't listen to it. I love the spiritual gifts. I thank God the spiritual gifts are in play, but they certainly follow the biblical record. And God gives us direction and all that. And so be wise in these days. And isn't it interesting, same message I'm listening to about, you know, Spirit coming on and all this charismatic stuff. And then it moved to like nationalism and Trumpism. Just like, right, they went straight from that to that. Isn't that interesting? By the way, how those two are tied together in the last days. Do not be deceived. So get some discernment. Verse 3, what does it say after that? Every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming. It's already in the world. This is back in the beginning of the New Testament church. He said, it's already there. Folks are already using Jesus as their way to manipulate people and pull people into their own personality-driven deal. Power, money, influence, brand. In today's world, I'm going to be an influencer online. Who cares about all that? Let's just talk about Jesus. Okay, so church, listen to me. Get discernment. How do you do that? Get in the Word and get in prayer. You got to live in the Word. It's got to start here. Nothing wrong watching a little news where you know what's going on in the world. But you got to start in God's Word. Are you listening? If all you're doing is watching videos on Facebook, you're going to be in a mess. You're not going to have a clue. If all you're doing is watching news, you're not going to have any idea what's really going on in our world. Are you listening? We've got to get in God's Word. So get some discernment. Number 2, we'll keep moving. How do we prepare? Turn many to righteousness. Turn many to righteousness. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and whoever wins souls is wise. Be a soul winner in these days. That's what God's calling us to do. Why in the world, preacher, would we talk about expanding our ministries and building buildings and doing more ministry and all this stuff in our community? Because the Bible says in the last days we're to turn people to righteousness. Why would we not invest in God's kingdom? We need to invest in His kingdom more today than we ever have. If we're in the last days, not hold on to it. Because listen, I can't take it with me. Can you? So let's live open-handed. That's why we would do that. I believe that's why God's given us $2 million of land to build on. I believe that's why He's grown our campuses the way that He has with seeing people saved and lives changed. It's because He's calling us to this. And so in the last days, what should we do? Have gospel conversations. Be bold. God will use it. Just open your mouth and speak. God will use it. But then thirdly and lastly this morning, how do we prepare? Here's the simple answer. Keep your eyes on Jesus. On Him. It says here, Daniel, he's in prayer. And man, God gives him this prophetic vision. And what's so interesting is God tells him, He says, hey, here's all this vision. Now seal it up and don't tell nobody right now. Huh? That's interesting. And it says that in the middle of the prophecy, it says all of a sudden the man clothed in linen steps into his vision. In chapter 10, Daniel has already spoken of what he saw there and how Jesus stepped in and had on a belt of gold, and His eyes were a flame of fire, and His arms and legs gleaming like burnished bronze. The sound of His voice was like a multitude shaking the foundations of heaven itself. In these days, what do you do? Listen, don't set your eyes on all the stuff in this world. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Set your mind on the things above where Jesus is, where He's seated. Isn't that good to know? He's not standing up pacing. Oh my goodness. What? He's seated at the right hand of God. He's saying, man, Father, whenever you're ready, I'm in. Let's do it. Let's do this. He's not up in arms. Heaven's not up in arms over your difficulty today or mine. Our emergencies do not constitute crises in heaven. Isn't that good news? Man, He's on His throne. It's peaceful in heaven today. And so if I want peace in my heart, I gotta set my eyes on Jesus. Reminds me of the old song that we used to sing in the church. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. You remember that song? Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior and life more abundant and free. If you know it, sing it with me. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Church today, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Let's just keep our eyes on Christ and know that He's got this and He's coming again.